Joined in the studio by Kentucky 5th District Representative Kenny Ives. Thank you for speaking with me today. Let's start with an opening question. Why should 5th District voters reelect you to the State House?
Well, quite honestly, I think I've done a good job. I've listened to people. I don't have very many preformed opinions. I mean, I do have some certain basic standards that I hold personally dear, but I think those pretty much reflect Callaway County as far as moral values and things like that. But I think I've done a very good job of trying to respond when contacted by a constituent. I've been very active in the community all my life. I've lived here, know most of the people, and by virtue of the experience, I think goes a long way. I mean, I served four terms in the 70s and have come back and running for my third current term. And Frankfort is a changing dynamic right now with the House, up for grabs. It hasn't been Republican controlled in 95 years. And so I think that's what you're going to want up there. You're going to want somebody experienced because these are rather tumultuous times statewide as well as in our nation.
You've supported Governor Matt Bevin during his gubernatorial campaign. How would you describe your relationship with the governor?
It's a very close personal relationship, quite frankly. He spent the night at our house three or four times, he and his whole family. We've been able to talk. I think we're like-minded individuals in most areas, conservative in our thinking overall, and really wanting to get Kentucky back on its feet and going in the right direction.
Kentucky has one of the worst-funded pension systems in the nation. What would you recommend to fix the problem, and do you support reallocating funds from other areas of the next state budget to combat this issue?
Well, we're going to have to. I mean, legally, I don't think the state of Kentucky could file bankruptcy, whereas you see cities throughout the nation doing that very sort of thing. More importantly, you've got the balance between, you can bond, which was Speaker Stumbo's last proposal and has been the last two or three years, and I did vote for it because I saw no alternative 2 years ago. But this last session, in addition to Murray State, which I think is, been one of the areas of discussion, at least between me and my opponent, all of state government took a 4.5% cut, with very few exceptions. State police got some much overdue raise. Kentucky State was exempted because they had made some great strides in progress. And what the other part of it is, besides the 4.5% cut, that was an operating budget only. Murray State also got $130 million, which is three times the operating budget for the ongoing physical plant upgrades and needs here, plus $12 million of federal pass-through money. So, the reality of the whole thing was the cut wasn't but about a little over 1.5%. And that's manageable. And I think where the governor is going with this, I applaud, quite frankly, because we're trying to create in Kentucky a work-ready atmosphere so the students, when they graduate, can actually get jobs. And I think we've got to go down even deeper, not just start at the college level, but we've got to go back into the high schools and find out what a student is good at academically, and then secondarily, where he sees himself. And I think that needs to start at least at freshman in high school with guidance counselors and all that. And then we need a better course of action to help those students plan for the future and to get the good-paying jobs, whether it's Murray State or whether it's technical school or whatever. And then one other thing, I think the university presidents and the academic leaders throughout the state need to start going into those areas and more or less specializing in certain areas rather than everybody trying to do everything in every part of the state.
What should the state's relationship be with higher education moving forward?
Well, the state, obviously, to me, is the foundation for the education of its students, not the federal government. NEA, quite frankly, I think is an illegal operation. But the federal government has gotten used to dangling the carrot out there, and you got to do this to take the money to do that. But education is number one priority. But education is more than just academics. You've got to take the whole person, the whole needs of the community, and try to massage those. When we speak of education, so often we're talking about formal education. We're talking about, going to college, going to high school, and all that. And we need all that, at least through high school. But then I think it's somewhere in the high school level, and certainly as they get into college, the student needs to have some direction. And, I mean, that's hard to do. But, I mean, in my case, at 9 years old, I pretty much knew what I wanted to do with my life. And I don't know if that's a change in culture and times, but I think more people need to think about that a lot earlier than we are. And that goes back to we fully supported the, you know, high school and elementary education thing, but the cuts were statewide, and that's what I want to emphasize. I mean, Murray State wasn't singled out, and nobody worked any harder on getting extra funded for the Breathitt Center than I did. And I think President Davis and those that know that I actually worked my tail off to try to get that extra funding, which would help offset, because that's coming out of their operating budget.
You have pre-filed legislation for the next General Assembly session related to Governor Bevin's Red Tape Initiative. Can you describe what this legislation is and how you feel it will help Kentucky businesses?
Well, it is somewhat different than Governor Bevin's. I have discussed it with the governor, and he is very high on my bill along with his Red Tape Initiative. Basically, what I'm doing is sunsetting all state regulations after 7 years. In other words, if they had a substantial change or major go through in the last 7 years, they sunset. They just go out of business, and that forces the cabinet or an agency to go back through and resubmit and have public hearings and come before the General Assembly Administrative Review Committee to get those re-upped. We have become so regulatory, locally, statewide, and federally, and it's driving people trying to go into business or people in business. I mean, the red tape, just getting permits to do different things, to do construction work. So many of these things hamper our ability to be a productive nation, a productive community, which is my specific interest. Being a member of the local EDC here, you know, I know what companies are looking for, and they don't need this red tape and all these regulations hanging over them. And the one-stop shopping portal that I think the governor is pushing on, even Governor Beshear recognized that and tried to streamline it. But we've just got entirely, I think the governor said we've got like 130,000 regulations in 14 volumes. Those are not state laws. The state General Assembly has given these different agencies the ability to promulgate those. They have to come back through a review process. But so oftentimes, especially in the technical fields, legislators don't have a good expertise. My predecessor, Melvin Henley, was one of the best, though, at, you know, getting to the bottom of a lot of these things when they dealt with technical issues.
For the past several years, House Speaker Greg Stumbo and others have filed legislation to raise the minimum wage on a scale beginning at $8.20 and eventually $10.10 after 2 years, with an exception for businesses grossing less than $500,000 in sales. The state Supreme Court recently struck down Louisville's minimum wage law, saying it was up to the state to decide, not the cities. What is your position on minimum wage? Is $7.25 an hour a livable wage?
Well, $7.25 is not a livable, sustainable wage. I agree with that. And I have no particular problem with indexing that to some kind of a standard, whether it's consumer price index or whatever. But to just start arbitrarily, I mean, that's the reason we're at 7.25 now. That's an arbitrary number, whether we go to $10, $15, or $15. But, you know, really, seriously, if you consider minimum wage, why don't we just make the minimum wage $50 an hour? I mean, what's the problem? I mean, if you're going to make it anything, you know, go ahead and do $50 or $100 an hour. Let's do that. And then when you go back to the local restaurants, McDonald's, instead of the hamburger costing you $4.95 or $4.50, then you're going to be paying. So I don't think it helps even the poorer worker, because he's going to be paying more for his goods and services. I mean, that's my argument against it. I mean, certainly everybody ought to make a wage that's willing to work. I want them to make a wage that's commensurate with that. And that goes back to your education system. You can go right now and get associate degrees in welding and computer programming and things like that. You can come out with that degree and be making $45,000 or $50,000, whereas with just a, say, I don't want to call it an average degree, but just a degree not in with some specialty with it, you know, college students are having a tough time finding a job in the open market. As an employer, I want to see that people have some experience or have the training to go in and hit the ground running. I mean, that was the way I was brought up. I started working for hire, mowing yards at 9 years old. Started digging graves at 14, unloading boxcars at 16, and paid my way through school. I mean, and I know school is expensive anymore compared to when I went. But that's a burden on the family, but I think that's the reason we have to get more. We've been shooting everything with a shotgun, and we're going to have to start using rifles to spearhead what we're trying to do.
You mentioned shotguns and rifles. This is good for my next question. How will you protect Second Amendment rights in Kentucky while making sure people who are concerned about gun violence feel protected too?
I am a very strong advocate. I'm a lifetime member of NRA and all that. I just believe a person has the right to protect themselves and their property. We are in Kentucky, at least, at the top end of any more regulation. In fact, I would like to see us backed off some of them, but that's not a major concern. We're just not going any further. I mean, you've seen this in country after country after country. You see it especially in Chicago. Illinois has the most strict gun rules, I guess, of anywhere. And yet you have more killings and more of that. It's as the old saying goes, it's not the gun that kills. I mean, yeah, it's just a mechanical instrument. You could say that about knives or anything else. I mean, you know, cars, we all take those risks. But as far as gun control and where I see us heading to disarm a citizenry is just absolutely, if you look at history, you go back to it, that's the first thing that any person who wants to dominate or become a dictator or the supreme ruler and no more, that's the first thing they do is disarm the citizenry.
Are there any issues that you feel strongly about that we haven't discussed?
Well, I feel very strongly about the right to life. I am very much against abortion, or at least wholesale abortion like we've been doing it, Planned Parenthood, the deceptions I think we're misled. I believe also in a woman's right to choose, and I don't want to get out of bounds here, but in 99.3% of the cases where there is an unwanted pregnancy, the woman made that choice prior to the conception. So I just kind of leave it at that, that is just an issue that's very, very strong with me. I mean, if you want to sum me up pretty much, the First, Second, and Tenth Amendment are very near and dear to my heart and have been for a long time. And I just see the federal overreach with the Tenth Amendment just being exploited every day. And I know we have to have things like interstate road systems that weren't thought of by the fathers. We have to have some EPA control. But you've got too many people that have no life experience in the field or in living. They've come right out of college. They've gone to work for state government, federal government, and this would be a good idea. Let's do that. But, I mean, you see some of the rules they're coming out with farming that's been done since the Lord created us and taught us to use and till the land. But we have to be respectful of the land, and I think you find today's farmers very respectful of conservation measures and all that. To sum me up, I mean, when you want to talk about the First, Second, and Tenth Amendment, that pretty well gets to me.
Well, Representative Kenny Imes, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you all, and I appreciate the opportunity to come and welcome people's criticisms every function I go to. You know, you meet somebody who wants to talk about something. I had a lady last night ask me about the governor's flying in a helicopter to work every day. I didn't know that he did that, and the state doesn't own a helicopter. So if he is doing that, you know, you learn new things every day. And fortunately, we have a good staff that helps us answer a lot of those questions or dig into them. Thank you so much.